This is Mod Love, the show that tackles dating, mating, and relating in the modern world with your host, premier dating mentor and coach, Jody Riley, and her partner from Straight Talk with Steve, Stephen Cardinal. Also featuring Ann Wade, our soulmate expert from soulmatedance.com.
Welcome, everybody. This is Jody Riley with my co-host,
Stephen Cardinal.
And you are listening to
Mod Love.
Welcome back. We're excited to have everybody back tonight with us. We're excited for all of our listeners because we have a fantastic show tonight. We're done with March Madness, though.
Yes, we are out of March Madness. We'll do it again next year. I think that was kind of a fun trip along the way.
Yeah, and we'll take some time during the year and maybe do some months dedicated to stuff like that. I think there's a lot of different topics that do lend themselves to kind of doing a month-long thing, and I think that will really go into depth on,
certainly.
And, yeah.
And doesn't mean we're obviously going to ignore men's issues now. We're just not going to dedicate ourselves to them.
No, not at all. But we have a fantastic show tonight, kicking off April here, April 2nd, which nobody knows this except for me, but happy anniversary to me because exactly five years ago today, I moved to Charleston.
Fantastic. Congratulations. Glad you came.
Yeah. I'm pretty stoked about the fact that I came. I drove up here in my little convertible with one of my best friends. She had all of my possessions in her 4Runner and my convertible, and that's what I came here with. That was it.
Well, so, welcome to Charleston, 5 years down. So what do we have going on tonight?
We have a fun show tonight. We have a listener question about this. This young lady writes in about men who chase you, and then once they kind of get you, they back off. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Of course, our feature segment tonight is dealing with this phenomenon of love at first sight, and why are so many people so attached to this idea of love at first sight. We've seen it on Facebook and social media. I even put out a question out on one of the forums that I'm a member of. I'm a member of Tiny Buddha, the forums out there. And I got some really good feedback from some of those people too. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And of course, we have a soulmate question from Anne that's talking about starting over when you feel like you can't. And then what are you doing in Straight Talk?
Straight Talk, I'm going to address where we set the bar when we're judging other people.
That is a really, really good Straight Talk segment because, let me tell you, we have a lot of different people setting bars at all kind of crazy places.
Exactly. So we're gonna cover one of those. It's based off some experiences from the past few days with a friend of mine and some responses she got on Facebook. So, yes, we will dig into that a little bit.
Fantastic. Well, let's kick off with this interesting article that I found. I found this article a couple of weeks ago, and I think I shot it over to you. Did I shoot this over to you?
I think you had it on the Facebook page because I seem to recall commenting on it. So, the basis of this is that men just don't trust women, and it's a huge problem. And I think I had made the comment on Facebook that actually, for me, I kind of don't trust anybody. So it's not just women, but so he talks about how. After being married and being engaged before that and all the dating before that, he realized that at some point he didn't truly trust his wife, especially her feelings when she would say, here's how I'm feeling. And she's kind of rating it as, say, an 8. In his mind, he's like, that's probably more of a 6.
Now, why do you think that is from your perspective?
God, it's true. I definitely do the same thing. And I tend to do it for everybody, but I think I do the same thing for women too. And I don't know where that comes from. I wish I did. I don't think it's fair to do it, but it's certainly not something I consciously do.
But it's ingrained, obviously, if you're doing it without thinking.
And is it partly because, so let's take, he talks about, emotional things and emotional levels. Men in general aren't as emotional, so maybe we would actually deal with the same thing on a much lower level. And so, you come in, if you are really upset about something, that would not upset me as much because I'm not as in touch with my emotions. So I'm going to compare your experiences to mine and say, clearly she's overreacting because, of course, my experiences are the right ones. It's just that's what's in my head. So to me, that's right for me.
And but you're also not the person in the situation either. You're kind of looking at it from a different perspective.
Exactly. I think that's another thing. But why, same thing would be for a guy, though, if he said, I just had this big blow up with my boss, and you're more likely somehow to be able to put yourself in his shoes more easily because he's reacting maybe in a guy way. And these are just, I'm supposing, because I don't really know where this stuff comes from.
It's interesting. And he didn't really give any good thoughts about where he thought it came from. Not necessarily just that it was there, that it was something that he felt ingrained. But I tell you, I had a personal experience with this. I dated a man for about 5.5 years. And I've talked about this relationship on here before. And I, right before we broke up, and actually I think it wasn't really even before we broke up, I think I knew all along that he seemed to have this idea that at some point I was just going to go off the deep end and either demand to move in with him, marry him, bear his children, or something. Like, it didn't, it, 5 years of me behaving in a consistent way did not deter him from somehow thinking that one day I was just going to implode. Why is that? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. I mean, because generally future behavior is depicted by past behavior unless somebody makes some kind of a huge change. And it wasn't like, you know, I was going to swallow the red pill the next day and go ballistic. I mean,
I'm just going to guess some previous experience, whether directly with him, you know, something that he saw between his parents or in a related, you know, in another family member's experiences or something that was close to him, maybe. Or there just was not a good enough positive reinforcement that that's not the way it is. And so you kind of fill it in with
what you think,
whatever you can imagine.
Yeah,
I guess.
But it does seem to be a pervasive thing that you know, if a woman, and I've known friends that were this way too. If a guy's girlfriend said to him something was white, he's going to double check. But if his best friend, a guy, said that it's white, he'll take it at face value.
More than likely, yes. And yeah, again, I don't know why that is, but I do think that is, if not, you know, uniform, is prevalent at least. I think it happens for a lot of guys. And it's one of those things that it's good to be aware of when it happens so that you can kind of call yourself out when you find yourself, you know, mistrusting what a woman tells you and saying, wait, why am I mistrusting that? Why is her opinion, or it may not be an opinion in the case of white. I mean, white really isn't an opinion.
Right.
Obviously, we have, as the blue and gold and black and whatever dress proves, there are multiple ways which aren't opinions that are still kind of messed with the facts. But why is her experience less trustworthy than somebody, a male's? And I don't know why that is, but it's good to be aware of.
Yeah. And if anybody out there has some experiences around this they'd like to share or some thoughts around why that might be, we would love to have you hit us up on Facebook, out there on Mod Love on Facebook, and tell us what your experiences are, because I just found this fascinating. Yeah.
Anyone out there doing a study, you know, get a big old grant from the government or something to try to figure out why this is?
Yeah.
I would definitely love to hear what your findings are.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. That'd be a lot of fun. But anyway, so that was just something I found that I thought was really, really interesting. So you want to run on over to our listener question?
Sure. And that article is up on Huffington Post, so I'm sure you can find it. It's called Men Just Don't Trust Women.
Yep. We can actually post that up if we
haven't. I think we did. I think it was already out there last week. But if you hunt around on our Facebook page, you'll find it and kind of get an idea of what the heck we were talking about. Yeah, so we have a listener question, and I'll just dig right into it. Why would a man come on very strong and chase me, and then when I agree to give a relationship a try, he just disappears? Suddenly, he's really busy and not calling or texting anymore. It's like a switch flipped, but nothing changed except that I said, yes, let's try an exclusive relationship. Would love a man's perspective.
Well, there you go. You are the token male on this particular show.
Yes, I am. So I guess I will weigh in on this. So I don't know if you've ever seen Life of Pi. The author presents two different stories. Here's what happened, and he gives this big, long one. And then at the end, he says, or here's story number two. So not knowing this person and what exactly happened with him, I have two possibilities. And it's kind of up to you to decide which one do you want to live with. Barring him actually coming forward and saying, here's what's happened, you're just going to have to take one as, all right, this is what I'll assume happened.
Unless you can get closure somehow by him.
Yeah. Right, right. So the first possibility is the more negative one, in that, you know, maybe he suffers from some self-esteem issues. He doesn't think he's particularly lovable, and just having a casual relationship was not convincing him otherwise. And he really needed to have some kind of effort made or some kind of demonstration that he is lovable by you agreeing to go on a and get into an exclusive relationship with him. And then once that was done, he really just got what he wanted. It wasn't that he was really looking for an exclusive relationship with you. He just needed some kind of boost to his self-image. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that it's purely coincidence that his life just got freaky crazy at the same time it happened. I mean, sometimes life things just happen at the worst time. You know, for instance, I have an audition I have to get out by late afternoon tomorrow. I got a bunch of stuff happening at work, and we happened to decide to get tickets for a show tonight, which I really wanted to see, but all these things happening at the same time, it's like, man, this really hurts. It's hard to, everything I'm going to do, I'm going to feel like I should be doing something else, and it's going to take the enjoyment away. It's just kind of the way the confluence of events happened, and you just got to kind of deal with it. So that's, I think, to me, the more positive way of looking at it is maybe it's just coincidence. If you don't have a pattern of this happening to you from lots of guys in your life and this just happened to you this one time, you know, it may be more helpful for you to accept that, you know, to kind of just think of it as it was just a timing thing. And if it does happen to you all the time, maybe look at it the other way as, you know, maybe you're attracting guys with low self-esteem who really just kind of need that pat on the back and then they're out. What do you think?
You know, it's interesting. I think you're very right. I think both of those scenarios are really good ones of what could have happened. Again, we don't know in this particular case. But here's the thing to keep in mind when you're dealing with men like this, because I actually had this happen to me on more than one occasion. And I know a lot of women worry about this happening after they've slept with somebody or whatever, which is why we always say, you know, if you're not sure exactly, you know, where you stand with somebody, you're not in a relationship, and that's a requirement for you to sleep with somebody, you might want to get all that on the table before you sleep together. So, but we don't know that that's what happened here. She just agreed to be in an exclusive relationship. But I would say that anytime anyone, whether it's man or woman, steps up and asks for something and then backs away when they get it, there's a couple different things that could be happening. One, they didn't really know what they wanted to begin with, which is a really likely scenario. Or two, like Steve said, other stuff just came up and he just has been poor at communicating about it. And if he doesn't communicate with you, you get to pick which story that is. And he just may have really, really, you know, this may have been, you know, you see the cake in the window and you really want the cake and then you get the cake and then you're like, well, I didn't really want the cake. Well, maybe he thought he wanted the cake and when he got it, he decided he really didn't want it. Yeah, that sucks. Yes, that's not fair to you. But this is just one of those times where you have to step back and say, you know what, this is an experience that I have to figure out how to get through. And it's a learning, you know, it's a lesson for me because, you know, you might want to reevaluate what was it that was kind of keeping you from wanting to say you wanted to be in a relationship with this guy? Was it not enough time? Was he acting a little wishy-washy to begin with? Was there a reason that you were kind of holding back a little bit? And if so, next time you have that feeling, you might want to trust your gut.
Right.
So, you know, so we'd love to figure out, you know, let us know how that goes. If you get some closure.
Yep. If he has a chance to, if you do get a chance to communicate with him and ask about it and he gives you an answer that even if you don't like it, you think that's at least probably true, then yeah, we'd certainly love to find how near or far we came to the answer. But
yeah,
I think, yeah, without actually being able to have that conversation, anyone's only ever going to be able to guess. So,
and you know, here's the thing. Some people really love the idea of something. You know, sometimes people really love the idea of being in a relationship, but the actuality of it is not as attractive. And when it happens, they just bug out. And
like someone who just, I would love to travel all the time. I would love to travel for work. So you get that job where you're going to be on the road 70% of the time. And within a few weeks, you realize hanging around in airports and worrying about your flights and trying to flag down cabs and living out of a suitcase really kind of sucks.
This is true. And you know, it's no longer fun.
And you don't realize that until it actually comes about. So.
Yeah. So thanks again for writing in and feel free to let us know how this goes. And if you're out there listening and, you know, and if you guys if you disagree with us, write in and tell us. Whatever. Tell us we're idiots. We're We have big shoulders and we can thick take skin.
That. Yeah. I get told that all the time.
So with that, we're going to have to go on over to Straight Talk with Steve. So what you got for us, Steve?
Let's hop right into it, shall we?
There's something going round that doesn't let me feel at ease. It's creeping like the plague. It's going to bring me down to my knees.
Again, the annals of Facebook provide fodder for my Straight Talk segment. The other day, a friend of mine, she had arranged a first date with somebody off of a online dating site. So no, someone she had never met before, but obviously had messaged a little bit. And the guy screwed up. He flaked. He was supposed to be there. I don't know the whole story, and I don't think it's particularly... He did give excuses. He did apologize after, but she came to Facebook and says, what should I do? Should I give this guy a second chance? And what the astounding thing was, the number of people who said, hell no, don't bother, he's a jerk, blah, 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 and just cut him loose. And to me, that is just setting the bar for what you're looking for so darn high. I mean, we hear constantly complaints that there are no good men out there. Well, if your goal of finding a man who never makes a mistake is the definition of good men versus not good men, you're right. There are no good men out there because all of us make mistakes. And that mistake could come on the first date. It could come on the 10th date. It could come after we've been married for 10 years. We're going to make mistakes. And you have to kind of decide where is an appropriate place to set that bar. And it seems like, especially in online settings, we are setting the bar so low. We give nobody the time of day. I mean, there's a big article in the NPR. There's a big article in NPR this week, and actually it was in some other newspapers or online sites a couple weeks ago talking about Twitter shaming and Facebook shaming, social shaming of people who make a mistake, like that girl who... She's a PR person, but she just tweeted her friend something that was maybe a little insensitive, but it was meant as a joke to her friends. And when she finally got off the plane in South Africa many, many hours later, Twitter had blown up. She ended up losing her job. Her life was ruined for years before she could finally get back into it. And this happens over and over because we looked to find the worst in someone and assume that that is them, that they can't just make one mistake. This one mistake indicates exactly who they are. And I think this is the case here where you take one mistake by a relative stranger who seemed to be very sincere with their apologies, and boom, that is who that person is. And, you know, it's fine if you want to do that because you really don't want to actually get into a relationship. You'd much rather be the victim and the person who can say there just are no good people out there, and you don't really have to worry about getting hurt if you never get into a relationship, right? I mean, trust me, I went through many, many years of my life not wanting to feel, not wanting to open up and take those risks. And it was close to 40 years old before I finally say, this is no way to live. I'm not getting hurt, but I'm not having the kind of joy in my life either. And I made some changes. And this is, I think, a similar thing in that it's easy to set up these walls and keep people out by keeping the bar so high so that you never get hurt, but you also never get to take a chance at really finding a good relationship because you give up too quickly on people. And I don't think that's healthy. And that is Straight Talk with Steve.
It seems my stupid mouth is going to get me into trouble again. My charm has set the trap. He's reaching for the shovel, says he's digging my grave. But the more I try...
Fantastic. I couldn't have said it better myself. I'm constantly preaching this idea that just because somebody, you know, doesn't have the right length of hair or whatever, you know, that's no reason to just discount them. Actually spend a little time and get to know. And everybody's always talking about, and I hate when they say the words, wasting their time. Because I don't ever see another human interaction
as a waste of time. That's so diminishing of what humanity is all about. I mean, you can always learn so much from someone. Now, if somebody beats you, steals from you, rapes you, puts a roofie in your drink, cheats on you, those are perfectly valid reasons to say, this is not the right person for me. I don't want to spend time with them. But showing up late or missing a date or forgetting to call until it becomes a pattern, you know, it's a mistake. It's not, you know, once is an incident, twice is a coincidence, and more after that, it's a pattern. So the first time something happens, obviously you're going to chalk it up in the back and kind of keep your mind on it, but don't make it the means for judging another person. Kind of see what happens. So I'm a big fan of second chances. Again, we're not talking about rapists, killers, and things like that. We're talking about, you know, someone who didn't think to open your car door. You know, that's not a hanging offense.
Or didn't think to walk on the right side of the road, or what the street side of the road.
Oh,
or
right,
whatever.
Right. Yes. When you're on the sidewalk there.
Yes.
Because horse carriages are going to go by and splash you with mud all the time.
It could possibly happen in Charleston.
It could happen in Charleston. It's more likely horse pee.
Yes, you're more likely to get peed on. But anyway, we're going to have to take a quick little break. When we come back, we're going to tackle this idea of love at first sight, and you're going to get to hear what we think about it and get our opinions on it. So don't go away. You are listening to
Mod Love.
Hi, Jody here from Mod Love. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. I just wanted to remind you all to visit our website at modloveradio.com. You'll notice that on our homepage on the right-hand side, there's a blue box. If you put your information in there, we will send you some free goodies. And while you're there, you can also watch videos, listen to episodes, subscribe to the show, or even check out our gallery of expert guests. You can also search for articles and send us your questions. Again, that web address is modloveradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in, and thanks for listening to Mod Love. Welcome back, everybody. This is Jody Riley with my co-host,
Stephen Cardinal.
And we are from modloveradio.com. And tonight, of course, if you're just joining us, you shouldn't be just joining us because you're like a whole 20 minutes late. What's up with that? But anyway, tonight our feature segment is about love at first sight. And I have to tell you again, Facebook gives us a lot of ideas. Yeah, we get a lot of ideas from Facebook. And if you haven't sent us your ideas on Facebook, you absolutely should. Hit us up on Facebook and send us what you think we should be doing shows about, because we read and we pay attention.
Yes,
we really
social do. Media does seem to be a great feeding ground for a lot of that what's wrong with the world rather than what's right with the world.
Or so. A lot of topics, though, that I think need to be discussed in a different, new way.
Yes.
And one of these topics that came up was from a post of someone on Facebook, and I don't know if I know this person personally or if they're just someone that I know, you know, on Facebook, because sometimes you don't know everybody personally. But they had put up this idea of love at first sight, and did people believe in love at first sight? And I got to tell you, I am a firm non-believer in love at first sight. And I know I have a dating and relationship show, but I'm coming out of the closet. I don't believe in it. I think it's bunk.
I think you've always been out of the closet for that. I don't think there's ever been any mystery that you don't buy it. So
I think people think, though, sometimes because we have a dating relationship show and we talk about it, and that somehow that we have, because we have a good relationship and they see us together, that somehow we have this love at first sight. You know, people are always asking us how we met and what our story is and that kind of thing. And you and I are always really upfront. We don't really have this big romantic love at first sight story. That's not how it happened. But one of the things that I always tell people, you know, everybody, for some reason, everybody is so attached to this idea of just walking into a room, seeing somebody across the room or whatever, and then just knowing. And yes, you can walk into a room, and I tell people this all the time, yes, you can walk in a room and see someone and think, oh my God.
Go ahead.
But that is not love. That, my friend, is called attraction. You make faces when you hum. Did you know that?
Some enchanted evening.
But that is not love. That is attraction. And that feeling that you have is chemistry. It's a chemical reaction. It's not what I would consider love, which love
comes, because you don't know
about
that person.
Right.
Some people who have that get lucky and that person does turn into be the one, so they can then say, well, no, I knew it right from the start. But what about all those times you were hot for someone when you first met them and it didn't work out? See, it's just luck. If what? That happens to you, that, you know, you meet someone and right away you think, boy, this person's great. But lots of people get that feeling and it does not turn out to be that person. You can't just discount those, throw those away and just say the ones that do work, prove it.
Well, and you know what? The interesting thing is, and you and I have said this before, people play the lottery all the time and sometimes people win.
Right.
But the majority of people that are playing the lottery are not winning.
And it does not mean that playing the lottery is a wise plan
no.
to get yourselves out of financial difficulty.
But when I asked this question on Facebook, I had someone say, after we talked about, you know, we talked about all the different, you know, what the issue with love at first sight is, I asked the question, what would you do differently next time? And I think it was the person that actually had posted it originally. And I said, what would you do differently next time? What do you think that answer was?
Not a thing. She lived for that.
Not a thing. She would do exactly because she wanted to remain open. And believing in love at first sight is not the same thing as being open to a relationship or open to love. That's not the same thing. And
it's
if
like,
you
it's
know,
like believing in Santa Claus is being open to receiving gifts.
Right. But here's the other thing too. Buying a lottery ticket is a lot less emotionally investing than falling in love with somebody that you don't know.
Says you.
Okay, well, maybe it's less investing
for me. Some of the scratch tickets, are you kidding me? The Red Sox Grand Slam scratch tickets? Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're starting to sweat already. I can see the emotion.
I could drop $100 in like a half an hour and just go wicked crazy, just scraping those little silver dots off to see if I freaking won with Noma.
Yeah, your Boston's coming out, baby.
Yeah,
but so if it's not that initial oomph attraction that means we're in love with somebody and that means that love is going to last, what is it that means that gives love the ability to last? And for me, I say that is shared goals and shared values. And until you know that you share someone's goals and you share someone's values, you don't know, even if you're in love with someone, you don't know if that could possibly last.
True.
Because if you and I weren't on the same page somewhat with our life, we wouldn't be able to stay together because eventually you get pulled apart. Life pulls you apart because you're not going in the same direction. It's like a car, the front and the back can't go in different directions because it's not a full car anymore. At that point, it's just a pile of junk that's going nowhere.
It's a clown car and we all don't want to be making our love at the circus.
So if you're looking for that chemistry and that attraction to be the thing that says, hey, this is something that's meant to be and it's going to last and this person's my soulmate, that's probably not a good indication. It might happen, but it might happen just like somebody might win the lottery. So if that is not a good indication, you know, what is it? And what I have people ask me, you know, is what does love feel like then? Love feels comfortable. It's not necessarily the butterflies and the weak in the knees and the whatever. I mean, you might feel excited to see somebody, but if you feel so nervous that you can't even be who you are, that's a good indication this might not be the right person for you.
Right. To me, it comes down to trust. Can you trust this person? I mean, because if you're nervous with someone, you don't trust them. You're worried about something not having. You can't just trust that this person cares for me and doesn't judge me and all that. And if you're worried about that such that you're nervous, that's not love.
No. And if you don't know that person, you don't know if you can trust them yet or not. And that feeling of butterflies and weak in the knees, that's an indication that you're not trusting, you know, because even though, you know, I love you, when you walk in the room, I don't get butterfly weak in the knees. I might be excited to see you and I might be happy to see you and it might make me feel good, but I don't get that.
She wags her tail. She knocks stuff off the coffee table. She wets the floor.
I drool. Yeah.
It's a mess.
Yeah. There may be inadvertent peeing on the floor.
But she trusts me that I'm not going to, you know, take a rolled up newspaper and swat her on the nose and tell her to get down.
Exactly. Or shut me outside and not let me back in.
At least there is no rolled up newspaper.
Yes. Well, this is true. But so if you're having those feelings, those are not the feelings that I would say you should trust. And those are not the things I would say that make for the indication it's a good long-term relationship. And there was actually somebody posted a article about, what was the name of this article?
Seven men described the breathtaking moment when they knew they had found the one. In a world in which seven men described the breathtaking moment when they knew they had found the one.
Again, if you are looking at these instantaneous moments to tell you if this is the person you should spend the rest of your life with, you're doing it incorrectly. You're doing it wrong.
You're just throwing the dice, hoping you get lucky.
Right. Now, what I would probably say is these were culminating moments. Other things had probably happened. They realized they had shared goals. They realized they had shared values. And something happened and they went, oh, you know what? This is somebody that I could, you know, oh, this makes sense now. That makes more sense to me than suddenly, you know, you all of a sudden have a bolt of lightning. And again, people, bolt of lightnings don't happen in real life either. At least not ones that signify you should marry this person.
Yeah, you still shouldn't stand out in the middle of a golf course when the storm is coming through with your 3-iron in your hand.
Right. Now, the first one, they're laughing at all the wrong moments.
I was just going to say you should really stand out there with a 1-iron because even God can't hit a 1-iron.
Golfing joke.
Sorry. Come on, guys out there. You know you got it.
So anyway, the first thing here, this one guy said that he knew that his girl was the one because they both laughed at all the wrong moments. Again, that means you have the same sense of humor. Right. That does not mean you can create a life together. But it worked out for them.
Yeah, so going out to the movies and no one is laughing except you two at a particular scene, that does not necessarily mean you're right for each other because you could have a whole lot of other problems. Obviously, again, it's culminating. It's a little indicator that, we also have this, but it's the also part that is the important one.
Right.
They have the same heart. Now, this is not a baboon heart or something like that, right? Was that a Johnny Depp movie?
No.
With the whole baboon heart. But yeah, they've been dating for about 3 or 4 months. They were holding hands after walking out of a store. And when they reached the curb without skipping a beat, they both jumped off the curb just like they were little kids. And so they realized that obviously they have the exact same heart and therefore were meant for each other.
Whatever. No. You had a moment where you were both in the same place and you both decided the same thing. And I can't say you and I wouldn't jump off a curb together too, but that doesn't mean that we're meant to be forever. That's just a moment.
And I think just from a scientific point of view, if you were to start to move and we were holding hands, my body would pick that up, those little micro movements and stuff, and kind of get me to go. And it would seem like instantaneous, but our minds work pretty darn quickly. Electricity travels pretty darn quickly across those, you know, synapses and whatnot. So, you know, one may have really triggered the other. Just saying. Owns all the same books.
Again, you enjoy the same reading material. Does not mean that you're going to be able to live together.
You both may hang out in hotels a lot and you both have Gideon Bibles. Don't go get married based off of that.
Well, has all the right genes.
They have
this
all
one was
the right
weird.
Genes.
That one didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, so they're not married yet. They're just engaged. Good. But once she drove us fearlessly through the most intense blizzard like an ice road trucker with nerves of steel like it was nothing, I knew then and there that I wanted her genes coursing through my progeny's veins. Because she is not afraid of driving in the snow. She could be from Vermont where it snows 340 days out of the year.
Yeah, again, not a good indicator that you guys are meant to be together. Yeah.
And those other 26 days, Vermont is absolutely gorgeous. Definitely go visit. Number 5, turned him into a bumbling mess. She was literally the first and only girl that ever made me genuinely nervous in every way. I was normally so self-assured, so confident, so cocky, but something about her made all of that fall away to the point I was a bumbling, nervous wreck. Thankfully, she apparently found this cute.
Yeah, again, like I said a minute ago, that's not a good indicator. Now, maybe these guys got lucky. That's not necessarily a good indication. That's an indication that you don't trust someone.
She cared more about him than things. When her car was damaged in a parking lot while under my care, I wasn't at fault. And her first words to me when seeing the damage was, "Are you okay?" That moment when you discover the woman you're dating cares more for you than an expensive inanimate object is the moment you know.
Well, in this case, I would say any really good-hearted human being is going to ask about the human in the situation before the the vehicle, correct?
Yeah, had she said the other thing, what the hell did you do to my car? That could be a great indication that she was not the right one for you, but the opposite does not necessarily hold true.
Right, right.
Number 7, she was willing to ruin her hair. We were on our way to a dinner thing. I had to stop and get air for the tires, and it started to rain hard. She spent 3 hours in the bathroom getting ready, and she got out of the car and put a hoodie on and held the flashlight for me.
She's helpful.
Yep.
And she's low maintenance.
She's not overly tied up. So, yep, low maintenance, if you like that, which I do, that is great. There are other guys who would really feel bad and take it, horrible that, oh my God, she had to do all this for me. I'm a bad boyfriend. I should be a gentleman. I should have walked her to the door and with an umbrella and this and that, throwing my coat on the ground so she didn't step in the puddle and blah, 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 blah. So, yes, it's...
None of these, what I say, are... because none of these speak to, a couple of them speak to what might be values, valuing other people above whatever, above inanimate objects, things like that, valuing
they're
the
good
other
values,
person.
Absolutely.
They're good values, but some of them are just really, no. These are not, I'm sorry, these are not good indications that somebody is marriage material. They're just not. I mean, they're sweet, they're romantic little stories, but they're not, That's not it.
Don't go get married off of that.
No. I'm sorry to burst your bubbles, guys. I mean, and I'm sure you think that we're the least romantic people on the face of the earth, but I just don't believe in getting yourself all emotionally invested in things that are not...
Indicative of long-term growth and potential.
That aren't really going to serve you well in the long run as a couple, because if you're all excited because somebody jumped off a curb with you and that's what you're willing to base the rest of your life on, that's somewhat reckless.
Hopefully most of your life is about jumping off of curbs.
Because that's what you based it on.
Right on.
Got a lot of curbs in your future there. So with that, I think we're going to have to take another quick little break. And we come back, we're going to be in our soulmate segment. And Anne is going to help someone who's struggling with starting over when they feel like they really can't. So don't go away. You are listening to
Mod Love.
Let me off.
Let me off.
I got a cigarette that needs smoking. And I don't want to be here anymore. Flashing lights.
This is Stephen Cardinal of Mod Love, and if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to head out to iTunes and leave us a review. Doing so will really help us reach more people and touch more lives. And if you're not an iTunes user, even a review on our Facebook page will go a long way in showing your support. Thanks a lot, and thanks for listening to Mod Love.
Something's wrong if you hope that this never is.
Welcome back, everybody. This is our soulmate segment, and this is Jody Riley.
And Stephen Cardinal.
And we also have Ann Wade with us here on the phone, who is going to give us a fantastic answer to this question. I've already read her answer. She's already got it written on the blog. It just hasn't posted up yet. So, Ann, take it away.
This week's soulmate question comes from a reader named Mark, and Mark wrote in to ask this. He says, my girlfriend of 3 years broke up with me a few months ago. I didn't see it coming, and she didn't give me much of a reason, just said she needed to move on. I guess it's time for me to get up and start over now, but I don't much feel like it, and I don't know where to begin. I'm not even sure that this has anything to do with dating. I don't have any trouble meeting nice women, but I can't get over the feeling of being a failure. Well, Mark, getting broken up with is one of the greatest blows to your heart and your self-esteem. And knowing that it happens to everyone at one time or another doesn't really make it suck any less when it happens to you. That sense of failure you're feeling is directly related to the loss that you're experiencing. Yes, you've lost your girlfriend, but you've also lost a piece of yourself because of that blow to your heart and your self-esteem. So you're grieving a multifaceted loss. The steps for getting over a breakup or any other disappointment in life are exactly the same as the steps for any kind of grieving. Grieving isn't just about bereavement. It happens anytime there's a loss of any kind. A breakup, a divorce, sure, but it could also be your bicycle getting stolen or broken when you were a child, the loss of health or wealth or trust or safety. Loss is loss, and any of them can knock us off our feet for a while. That means feeling completely bummed at first is completely normal and natural. You just don't want to get trapped there. The fact that you're asking signals that you're ready to begin recovering and to begin moving on. So that's good news. No matter what is triggering the need or desire to start over, though, the process and the steps are the same. So anyone out there listening who's experienced a loss of any kind, but especially a breakup, as in this case, here are your steps. Our 9 steps for starting over. All right, the first step, allow yourself to feel the grief. You can't avoid it. Don't try to deny it or sweep it under the rug. Don't wait, though, until you feel ready or pretend that you never felt the pain. Okay, but also don't wallow in it, because wallowing and denying, ignoring, that pretty much guarantees you're going to get yourself stuck. So go ahead and acknowledge it, feel it, and begin taking steps as soon as you can, even if they're baby steps. Step number 2. This is a biggie. Complete the communication. Frequently, there's a sense of unfinished communication and no way to close that gap. So this is where an old school technique can really help. And you've heard it before, but listen again, please. Write a letter as if it's addressed to the person or the thing you've lost. Pour out your heart, saying everything that feels like was left unsaid. Now, it's perfectly fine to hear the other person's voice in your head and even to debate with them in your imagination. Now, don't worry about pretty writing. Don't even worry about spelling or grammar. Just let it rip. And if you really, really, really hate writing, use a recorder instead. The goal here is to say everything that is still on your mind. So keep writing or talking until it feels like it's all out. It's like you're lancing the wound. Now, hopefully, I don't need to tell you that this is for your eyes and your ears only. Don't even be tempted to send this. This is for you, just you. Okay, step number 3, apologize and forgive. Now, often this has to be done privately. So when you feel like you've said everything you can think of in your letter or recording, switch gears. Because within all this angst, there are 4 critical elements that you're going to want to add to that letter or that recording. The first one, I apologize. Now write it out. Apologize for whatever you did or didn't do or you messed up. Because remember, it always takes 2. Number 2, I accept. Again, write it out. Accept in your imagination the apology from them that may never be offered. Now hear that again. Go ahead and accept the apology from the other person that may never be offered. Don't wait for them to offer it. Number 3, I forgive. Forgive them, forgive yourself. And if you need some tips on forgiveness, and most of us do, there'll be 3 articles referenced in the transcript to this episode. So when you go to Soulmate Dance, you'll find them in the transcript to this episode. Number 4, and this is another big one. Despite everything, I want you to know. Now write out what you would like for them to know. And this is where you list all the good things and the potential good outcomes. Things like, I want you to know that I've grown as a person. I want you to know that I've learned something new or experienced something new, and I'm grateful. I am grateful. Find some gratitude moments and remind yourself of them. Now, these 4 steps, these 4 critical elements have been adapted from the grief recovery method. If that's something you're interested in, you'll also find that reference in the transcript. Now, again, these four elements are meant for you. They are not meant to be sent. Don't even be tempted to sin. Okay, moving on. Step number four, accept where you are right now. In most cases, you can't change what's happened. So resistance and ruminating and fighting to change the unchangeable, they only prevent your healing and keep you from moving forward. Okay. Keep in mind, accepting doesn't mean you like what happened. It just means you're going to begin moving away from it instead of dwelling on it. You're not going to let it dominate the rest of your life. So find something else to occupy your thoughts and time rather than having this situation replay endlessly in your head, fantasizing how it might have been different. It's not different. It is what it is right now. And when you begin accepting that, you can begin moving on. Step five, get rebalanced. All right. Think about this. When we start something new of our own accord, we're usually excited, we're motivated, our confidence is intact. But if you're starting something new because of a difficult situation, you're probably feeling more exhausted than enthusiastic, at least right now. And the good news is you don't have to feel positive in order to start taking positive steps. The best way to let go of resentment and regret and guilt and blame is to focus elsewhere. Focus on what you want more of in your life right now. Take action steps, even baby ones, even teensy ones, towards what you want more of. Catalog the good moments. Focus on the gratitude you feel for them. And eventually, it will crowd out the bad without even making you yearn for the past. So instead of focusing on stamping out the bad, focus on what you want more of. Focus on the good, and it will crowd out the bad. Remind yourself that you did the best you could in this situation, in your relationship, and so did your girlfriend. Whatever the situation is, remind yourself that you did the best you could, and so did the other person, even if you hate what they did. They were still doing the best they could. Now, chances are they didn't start out to hurt you. She probably started out loving you. Who knows what happened along the way, but probably she did not set out to hurt you. So neutralizing the bad feelings by acknowledging what was good and moving towards what you want more of now, that will give you the fresh start that you're craving. Step number six, know that this isn't the end and you are not alone. Now, though it's normal and natural to feel isolated and even embarrassed, you know, to feel like you've suffered some unique hardship or you're being singled out for punishment, the reality is everyone has experienced this or something similar. And if they tell you they haven't, they're deluding themselves and they're deluding you if you'll let them. Life is full of challenges. No one is immune. Now, some people may mask it better than others, but don't be fooled. If you look around your circle of family and friends, you'll very quickly see that others have overcome adversity of some kind. Spend some time with them. Ask them what they did. Listen to what they have to say. Look around you in the world. Oh my gosh. Look at the examples of successful people who've had their hearts broken or who have suffered tremendous losses of other kinds. And then they've gone on to rise to something better. You are made of exactly the same stuff. You can do it too. All right, step seven, reset. Okay, how do you reset? Well, you dream big. You take steps, even small ones, every single day. You think of yourself as being free and on the cusp of creating whatever you want next. So you start instilling new habits that match what you want to create. So if it's lasting love, start practicing. Start giving love in ways that are meaningful to the recipients. Not just to potential lovers, but also to family and friends and colleagues and even enemies. Begin living a loving and love-giving lifestyle in general, in all areas of your life. Do something every day to become the embodiment of the soulmate you desire to attract. Remember, you don't find a soulmate, you become one. And in becoming, you call them in. Fuel your desire, even with baby steps, You know, as long as they're consistently taken, soon your reset will take on a life of its own. Have faith. Number 8, teach your inner critic a new language. Okay, new beginnings can be scary. Of course they can. Change can be scary. But you already know you can't stay where you are. And your worst enemy in beginning your fresh start is probably your own inner voice. You know, your inner critic loves to tell you why you shouldn't take the leap. It loves to tell you why all the reasons this leap, whatever it is too daunting, why you're going to fail, and worst of all, why you're not worthy. After all, you've just failed, right? Well, that's just all your fears ganging up on you. They're shouting at you. Look at it this way. If you were teaching a child to ride a bike, that child started wailing that it was too hard and they would never learn and they were afraid, you would comfort them. You would tell them you understand. You'd remind them how much fun they will have once they learn. You would encourage them. You would show them what to do next. And you would help them see each little step as a victory on the way to riding that bike. In the same way, you can teach your inner critic a new way of speaking that reassures rather than crushes. You know, treat yourself kindly and gently and encouragingly, just like you would that child. Number 9, and last but not least, make a plan. Make it and prepare for it to change. The plan is really just mainly a way to help you start taking steps towards whatever you want. Even if you have no idea how to get where you want to go, make a plan and start taking action, because each step will open up new vistas and new options. Things may actually unfold in ways you can't even imagine right now, but creating a plan, being willing for it to flex, and taking consistent action are guaranteed to set the magic in motion. So, you know, in your case, you said that you have no trouble meeting nice women. Okay, here's a baby step. Invite one of them to coffee with no agenda in your head for ever going any further. You know, maybe it's somebody you've had part of an interesting conversation with and you just like to continue it. Let it be easygoing and let it be okay for whatever happens. View it as just one step, not the whole solution. Just one step, because the next one will follow. Okay, so there are your 9 steps. You can review them all in the transcript at soulmatedance.com. The references mentioned will be there as well. And just remember, things happen. Relationships end and new ones begin. Jobs end, new ones begin. We fall down, we get back up. That's life for all of us. You're not a failure at all. You've heard it before. The only people who fail are those who let fear and insecurity rob them of that first step, and the one after that. So give yourself a little credit, you know. Remember the old song? Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. It works. Just by facing the fact that it's time to start over and asking that question, you are demonstrating courage, and that is not a character trait of a failure at all. And above all else, remember, endings are just beginnings in disguise. So go take that first step.
Thank you so much for that very insightful answer, Anne. We very much appreciate that. And I think that, you know, when you're starting over, it can be kind of difficult and it can be a daunting task, but sometimes we just have to step out and do it.
Both you and I have kind of done that with picking up and moving away. I mean, I obviously came down here not quite 5 years ago. It'd be 5 years in August. And really, I quit my job. I didn't know anyone down here. I, you know, used the web to kind of find a possible place to live and came down here, found it, and then moved down here and took some time to get settled in. But it really was starting over, and it wasn't easy. Obviously, I did not have kids, and I was going through a divorce. So, I mean, there was a lot of things I was able to leave behind, and that's not necessarily the case for a lot of people. But you'll find out that just by doing something and giving you those affirmations that I can do this can get you there, because you do it and you just deal with the stuff that comes up and you find out later that, I'm strong enough to do that.
And the stuff that comes up is not nearly as bad in real life as it is in your head.
Right.
That's what I've found. I mean, all the scenarios in my head were way worse than it actually was in application. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. I mean, when you drive to work in the morning, you don't know if somebody's going to slam on the brakes in front of you or cut you off, or if there's going to be very light traffic. You just deal with it as it comes, and you have trust in yourself that I know how to drive. I've driven this thing before. I've stopped short before. I've avoided being cut off before. I know I can handle this. I'll just deal with it when it comes, knowing that I can handle it.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think we're going to have to get on out of here. But before we go, next week, we have a catch-up. We have Elisa Schwalkowski from 30 Dates in 30 Days. It was actually 30 Dates, Why Not? She's going to be...
it's not in 30 days.
No, 30 Dates Before 30. 30
before
I'm sorry.
30, yes.
And it was called 30 Dates, Why Not is the name of her blog. She is going to be here in the studio with us. She's coming down.
Excellent. She will be here
Right. She will be here in person to do the show with us. And she's bringing a guest with her. And she's going to catch us up on her journey of doing 30 dates before she turned 30. She turned 30 just a couple days ago. So she's going to catch us up on that whole process and introduce us to our guests. So I'm really excited. That's going to be a lot of fun.
That will be fun.
So we're going to have to get out of here, but make sure you tune in next week and don't miss it, guys. And thanks so much for listening to
Mod Love.